With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, onto the Sharkies, Tigers or Tigers versus Sharks. I thought this was a great win by the Sharkies. I thought this was a really just, you could see the difference in levels. I thought that they turned up, they didn't seem complacent. How about that quote earlier in the week where Toby Rudolph said that Craig Fitzgibbon does an hour and a half of jiu-jitsu the day of the game, so he feels like he's earned the right to be able to tell the boys. And I saw a few comments going, what do you mean he's an ex-player? He's, of course he's earned the right. It's his job. And it's like, yeah, but you don't get the mindset of the elite like him. He has to prove it to himself, not just yesteryear, every day, every day. That's why they're, and you know what, that's why the Sharks have been so good this year.
Well, I had him on my podcast 2 years or so ago, and there were so many things he said that looking back now, I'm just like, fuck, can't believe that didn't hit me more. Mm. I remember we're talking about like before the, like he played in, I think 5 grand finals in 6 years or 4 in 5 or something like that. I remember talking about like nerves before the game and he sort of said, oh, no, I was never nervous, but like my number one fear was just exhaustion. And I said, what do you mean? And he sort of went, just that fear of being on absolute empty just used to rattle me, but I used to love it.
Yeah, wow. Interesting. Is in so the fear of being on empty is
just
if being
on
prepared.
Empty and just having nothing left in your body and being out in the field, but it's like that. He's like, that was my fear, but it was also my aim of where to get to.
Mm. Yeah, wow.
Well. Mindset was just something else.
Well, when you go deeper into that, you're like, then he's training. He's constantly putting himself in that environment. And so by the time he gets to game day, he's comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. What a beast. What a fucking beast. Now, on to the Sharkies. Great win. Seriously, great win. Hines, I thought, was outstanding. I thought Dykes was really good. I didn't mind Lockie Miller on the wing. I still reckon Lockie Miller is putting a bit of pressure on Dykes for that fullback spot if Kennedy isn't there. I will say Kennedy Dykes is young, obviously. Like, he's going to improve. But I do think you can see the difference between the slick ball playing of Kennedy and a Dykes. Again, that is understandable. That's expected. But, yeah, I thought Dykes was really good. I thought, Jesse Ramien, I just want to give him a massive rap. Like, I feel like this year – It's really bizarre how some players we get on the hype train and we get behind, and then some players, they just go about their business, rack up these incredible, you know, years, and they don't get the same, I guess, raps that they did a couple of years ago. I thought the Sharkies were fantastic. What did you guys think of the Sharkies?
Yeah, I think considering the guys that were missing, I mean, from that back line, you had Ikavalu playing, you had Dykes playing, you had Miller playing, like three out-and-out stars that were missing. Mm. We said it all year, just their depth is crazy. Like, I don't even think Ikavalu's a centre and he looked great there.
Mm.
I don't think Lockie Miller's a winger, he looked great there.
Mm.
I mean, just plug these guys anywhere, and that's without, you know, Connor Tracy, who might be the most versatile bloke in the competition as far as outside backs. So, forwards are really good. I thought our boy Royce Hunt, he was very strong once again. Royce the choice.
You.
Very good game. It looks like Toby Rudolph's going to be out for a couple of weeks with an injury, so Royce is going to be very important over the next couple of weeks.
I wrote literally in my notes, great try, Royce Hunt. I think over the next two seasons, he might become one of the game's most improved forwards. I reckon he's not even close to his potential, and he's beginning to reach his potential.
He's got like Andrew Fifita sort of qualities about him. The way that he runs, the way that he bumps, the way that he has got this big engine. Like he can play for a lot more minutes than what they've been using him to, just because they've got the depth they don't need to. But yeah, I think over the next few weeks, I think we'll be talking about Royce Hunt a lot.
Mate, I think he's really good. I'll tell you what else. I'll tell you what wasn't good. That sin bin was outrageous.
Ugh.
That was one of the most outrageous sin bins I've ever seen. And the crazy thing was, is it wasn't even the ref's split call that did it. The bunker watched that and gave it, like, either said down to him, tended the bin or whatever. How can anyone watch that and think he can pull out of that tackle?
Even in super, super slow motion, it didn't even seem late.
It literally, because in super slow-mo, you can see he's already committed as Laurie turns his back. It just makes – how can you watch that and say that that's the defender's fault?
As soon as you get out the slow-mo, you know you're trying to convince yourself of something.
Didn't they go back a few tackles as well? I'm pretty sure they went back
I think
a few tackles.
So. That's what I mean. It was the bunker, I think, that tipped him up. Like, I cannot for the life of me understand, like, what is he supposed to do there? Not tackle the guy with the ball?
Especially the play that it was. Like, he was turning under. The ball was in a blind spot for the defender. Like, if he holds it and goes, it's a missed tackle and he scores.
100%. If he goes, oh, shit, I better not tackle you because you might turn around. Absolutely bizarre. Like, anyway. Timmy, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, Sharky's very dominant. They did everything they need to do. The Tigers didn't show up too much, I don't think. But, I mean, the Sharks ran for 500 more metres in this one, which is very dominant. We spoke last week about how poor their completion rate was, and we just thought, you know, with their expansive brand of footy that they play, very attacking, love to move the ball, if they can complete at a high rate, like, again, sky's the limit because they can put points on for fun. Completed at 83%, scored 36 points. I think that's no surprise there. So the challenge will be now, if they can complete at that rate in the bigger games come finals time.
And it's as we discussed earlier, like they still have Kennedy in that to come back. Like we give all these other teams a pass for like missing key players. Like they're missing three of their key players from their backline that have such a big role.
They don't have Moylan still too.
Manny Moylan's gone and they're still doing stuff like this. And people say, oh, it's against the Tigers, but they did exactly what they're expected to do. They won 36-12 and the Tigers never looked in the game.
And as poor as the Tigers were, it's still the same side that almost beat the Cowboys and beat the Broncos a couple of weeks ago. Like it's, there's a football side in there.
Absolutely.
As Guru said, there aren't many easy games to win at an NRL level. Like you've got to do something right.
Yep. I will say this though. I think Nokoro's line running has got to be top three in the game. Minimum. Fuck, he hits that line perfectly. And that like building up a relationship with his half, whether it's Hine, Trindle or Moylan, it's just getting better and better. I remember when Britton first came in the grade and he kind of just burst onto the scene and we're all sitting there going, fuck, this kid could be anything. Like almost like a little bit smaller Boyd Cordner, a real fucking tough hard line runner, tough defender, and just love to get amongst it. And then a little bit quiet for a year or two, but he's, again, like Fitzgibbon and the coaching staff there deserve such a big rap because all of these boys are probably playing career best footy. Like, and that shows good coaching. Like how to get all 17 playing arguably career best footy outside of maybe Fifita, but Fifita is like he's not injured, but he's older and his body is...
But he's still playing his role perfectly.
Exactly. Yeah. Outside of that, like they're all playing arguably career best footy. Nakora's lines are incredible.
Along with everyone that comes in as well. The beauty
as well of because they're sitting so high at the ladder, they've had a few injuries to the pack in and out, not a lot at the one time in the pack, but it's allowed them to sit. Andrew Fifita, should I say, and give him weeks off. He didn't play on the weekend. He sat him at a couple of different stages this season, not because he hasn't won him in his 17, but like, let's not push him. Like we're not scraping to make the eight and play finals footy. We're in a position to do it, and it's only going to benefit them come first week of finals.
They've still got that hooker sitting there, Jaden Beryl, and most fans wouldn't even know it.
Yeah, and he was like signed as, oh, we might need a hooker this year, because, and then Brayley has just gone to another level this year. Fuck, his service is so good. He's so consistent. Doesn't get the raps he deserves. The Sharkies, seriously, the only concern I have for the Sharkies is they might walk into that para territory where a lot of clubs start poaching players because they sit in the, you know, that third or fourth or second to fifth, and like They create these superstars. Like a guy like Mulatalo or even Katoa, like last year, were good, really good wingers, but they didn't have the hype around them. This year, they're starting to be compared to the best wing combinations in the competition. And so the hard thing for the Sharks is they're going to get rated. Like, they're absolutely going to get rated by other clubs.
But the positive for them is that, you know, similar to the other good clubs, they've shown they've got the depth to be able to cover if they do get rated.
Oh, for sure. For
That'd
sure.
be right, mate. They living in the Shire, God's country, going to take a lot of money to make a move.
Just on that, they got two players in the top 50 of this list, and that's Andrew Fifita, who's definitely getting downgraded, and Wade Graham, who, like, he's like at the end of his career.
That's what I was even saying. Like, after they went on their recruitment run last year, I said the scary thing for the Sharks is next year they're going to have, what, 1.2 million sitting there in the cap. Like, they're not even done yet. They could go out and buy a $1 million player next year. It's fucking, they're in such a strong position. I think the club is in a real strong position, isn't it? They bought all that real estate or whatever. I think we're witnessing the birth of a powerhouse.
And even if even if they were to lose Fifita and Wade Graham and not buy anyone and just reinvest in the guys they've got.
They got it. Easy.
Like if Wade Graham is out, Teague Wooden will come in and he will do a job.
Easily.
They'll be okay.
100%.
If Fifita is out, they've got all these guys in reserve grade that can come in and do a job.
The only thing they might lose is a little bit of leadership.
Yep.
But I feel like they're developing. They've got Dale there. Moreland's been around for a while
McInnes.
McInnes off the
bench.
They're
not short on leaders. Mate,
McInnes off the bench. Fuck, he's been good. What a, like, how a club can get, I mean, not to dig the boot into the Dragons, but, yeah, anyway, we'll move on. A guy like McInnes for me.
No, we won't. Hold on.
But, I mean, am I crazy or what, boys?
Oh. Yeah, no, I agree.
Am I crazy or what? Yeah. He is the heart and soul of a club.
And he was their hooker, and the year before that, they made the decision, don't need Reece Robson.
And also, he was literally like a millimetre away. When Cookie was getting brought into the New South Wales side, he was a millimetre. It was between Cookie and McInnes. People forget that. Like, he was that close to Origin. And anyway. Apologies, Dragons fans. Apologies. You got a stray bullet there. hey, look, we got rid of Reece Walsh. So what can I say? We've done it as well as the Broncos. Really exciting times with the Sharkies. And I genuinely believe we might be witnessing the next big club. Now, I'm not saying that they'll go on to be the Storm or whatever, but I think that if they're not playing for a premiership in the next 2 to 3 years, I'll be fucking very surprised.
I think in them, I think they're giving it a shake this year.
Oh, for sure. But like I'm saying, it's like an expectation. You know, like this year, it's like, how good, we did it, rah, rah. Next year and the year after, it's like, no, we should literally be in the finals going against the best teams. In the grand final going against the other best team. Now, on to the Tigers. Some positives. I think Brown has been a real good find for them. I really do. He just has a knack for finding the try line. And sometimes he goes when he shouldn't go, but he's still finding the try line quite often. Adam Dewey tried his heart out, as he does every single week. I really think they're missing Hastings, but I get the feeling out of the Tigers that maybe Hastings isn't their man. That's the feeling I'm getting. I might go as far to say is I don't know if Hastings will even be at the club next year. That's the, again, no evidence, but like they haven't locked him up or extended him, and I feel like he would want to extend. Adam Dewey, I think he comes off contract next year. I'm not understanding, like, that. I feel like they're treading water a little bit and they haven't committed to who they're going forward with first. Like, there's part of me that thinks that some people at the club think that Brooks is the future, and then there's other people that think, no, we need to go in a new direction. Where do you see the direction? Do you agree Hastings might be there, not be there next year?
I definitely think there's a really good chance he won't be there next year. I think there's a good chance Brooks won't be there next year either. I wouldn't be surprised if neither of them there. I said this a few weeks ago. I think the Tigers, either they're trying to work out which one they want or they're trying to work out which one it will stay. I think that would be more the worry for me.
I mean,
which one is willing to stay?
But surely Hastings would be, like, he seems like he fucking loves that club. Like, as in,
yeah, but I also think Jacko would walk into any club and do whatever he could for them. That's the sort of personality he is now.
Like, okay, put it this way. Do you think if they said, you're our seven, you're playing seven, that he would stay?
Potentially, but they're definitely not saying that to him, which is fucking crazy. It's wild.
And so the only thing that makes sense to me is they know that him playing 13 is going to make him move on. I don't know. It doesn't make – Timmy, what do you reckon?
I don't know what the Tigers are thinking, and I'm not going to do myself the disservice of trying to think, work out what they're going on in their minds, because they're mad. But I would love it to be Jackson Hastings and Adam Dewey in the halves next year. It seems so obvious. Luke Brooks, I'm sorry, but he's been there for 10 years or something. They haven't played finals footy. So if you think he's the answer, I think it's time to part ways. And I think it'll do. I think it's the best for both parties, where Brooks can potentially thrive elsewhere. I think we've seen it. 2 weeks ago, with great performances against the Cowboys and the Broncos in particular, where Hastings was at lock, basically playing as another half, and Adam Dewey was at 5'8", they've just looked excellent. And you saw, we got excited for the Tigers.
Mm.
And then 2 weeks without Jackson Hastings there, Dewey's looked a shell of himself. He tries and tries, but I like him being given a bit of a license to play football and not have to worry about managing the game and getting him around the park.
Mm.
And without Hastings, and to a lesser degree, without Brooks there now, he's struggled the past two rounds. So we spoke about it 2 weeks ago, but going into next year, if you had Dewey at six, Hastings at seven, you bring in Papali'i, Api Korosau, geez, you've got a footy side you can work with there. So if it's anything less than that, I'll be so disappointed for them.
Just another one, and I know it's not the Tigers' fault, but it's so fitting. They let go of Oliver Gildart last week.
Mm.
You know, he scored 5 tries in reserve grade this weekend.
No way.
North Sydney, they won by 60 points. He scored the first, the last, and 3 in between.
Oh, fuck. I don't get it. I don't get it. Like,
if who's Oliver Gildart was at the Tigers this week, he wouldn't be getting picked.
Yeah, no.
They wouldn't be looking at him.
No way. Who's going to be their seven next year then? If Brooks isn't the guy and Hastings isn't the guy, like, it just doesn't make... Tim Sheens obviously has a plan, so maybe they're bringing someone in, but I'm just really surprised. I don't know what the direction is, and it looks so obvious. The Hastings Dewey combination excites me.
Yeah.
It excites me. I go, fuck. They're both crazy winners. Like, they'll win at all costs. And then you throw in Api Korosau around the ruck there with a Papali'i on the edge.
Well, that's the thing. If they can't convince them to be there when they've got Api coming,
something's going on.
Like,
and like, yeah. Why haven't they? And like, even Adam Dewey wanted to go down to the Storm to experience it. David Nofaluma, he said no comment, but when they asked him, you know, well, do you want to stay at the Storm? He laughed and said no comment. mate. I just...
To be fair, if I was the Tigers, I wouldn't let Adam Dewey go down there.
Well, yeah.
He wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
He'd be sitting on the porch for a long time.
But then, like, extend him.
Yeah.
Like, give him a big contract. Like, you know, give him the contract that Brooks pretty much has. Anyway. So, look, yeah, the Tigers... I think Api Korosau will change a lot there, though.
Yes.
He will attract people. He's so fucking skillful. Do you play Papali'i on edge or in the middle?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Because I kind of feel like they need him in the middle.
Yeah, I think they need him in the middle, unfortunately.
In
saying that, they're losing Garner. They've already lost Leilua. They are going to be short on edge. So,
yeah.
But I think they need him through the middle. Just on that halfback thing. It's going to be a good little rugby league narrative to see Mitchell Pearce come back and finish it at the club that his dad did.
Yeah, that would be cool. Mm. Another thing as well, Jock Madden. Apparently Penrith are about to sign him, so they'll lose him as well.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. The good stuff. Yeah, sorry, Tigers fans. I just think you're missing Hastings. I really do. If Hastings isn't in this side, it's a different side. It really is. Now, on to
Imagine if they lose Jock Madden, who's going to take an opportunity just to sit behind Cleary and Luai instead of being a seven foot.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.